Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Imagine if somebody were to really sit down with Osama bin Laden and say, listen, man, what is it that you're so angry at me about that you're willing to have people strap bombs to themselves or get inside of airplanes and fly them into buildings? That would be the miracle if we could get sit down and talk to our enemies and have a find a way for them to hear us.
But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down.
If only Matthew Modine or Sean Penn were alive in the 1930s, I'm sure Hitler would not have slaughtered so many millions. I'm sure Sean Penn would have found something admirable about old Adolf, and Matthew Modine probably could have gotten an audience with him and found out why he has such enmity towards freedom-loving people. And why does he have that thing with the Jews? If only Matthew Modine could have sat down with Adolf Hitler and said, hey man, why do you want to kill all those Jews? Why can't we just talk? You know, the idiocy of Hollywood is well established. There's almost no point in talking about it. But how it continues to metastasize under Obama is amazing to me. Here's a Hollywood idiot who hasn't done a good movie in 15 years who is saying, why can't we sit down with Osama bin Laden and say, hey, man, why do you want to convert the world to Islam? You know, that would be cool. But if you think it's limited to the Hollywood idiots, you are mistaken. In Moscow the other day, the radical Muslims blew up a subway car. They put some women in there, you know, blew up people. And Putin is talking tough. He says he's going to clean them out of the sewer. Of course, the libs are going crazy. They're saying it's gutter talk. They're saying, oh, that's gutter talk. That's gutter language. When he says he's going to wipe them out, we can't have gutter language. We've got to be polite gentlemen when we're talking about radical Islamists. Now, when you talk about Christian extremists, well, you can use any language you wish, or about Sarah Palin or Tea Parties. Use gutter language, but not when it comes to terrorists, because that's a sensitive issue. So at the end of this, you read the article on Putin's gutter language against the Islamists, saying he's going to scrape them out of a sewer. And you read what the morons at the Carnegie Moscow Center have to say. Now, the Carnegie organization, as you well know, is a lifetime socialist front group. So here's what a schmuck from the Carnegie Moscow Center after the subway bombings. He says, the question is whether there will be accomplishments with social development to give people an alternative to blowing themselves up. Now, liberalism, as we well know, is a mental disorder. You could see that in Obama. You can see that in Nancy Pelosi. You can see the mental disorder in Harry Reid. You could see the mental disorder in Barney Frank. It's clear that liberalism is a mental disorder. They pass one monstrosity of a bill after another. There's no way to pay for it. They think they're winning, and they keep passing bills and programs, and they don't have the money for it. Now, if that's not insanity, I'd like to know what is. But then it metastasizes, where Hollywood now comes out through one of their people, and he says, why can't we just sit down and talk with Osama bin Laden and say, hey, man, why are you so angry at me? Why can't we sit down and talk with bin Laden, he says. Now, I noticed that Matthew Modine has grown a goatee, which is, I guess, how he got 30, 40 more points of his IQ went up there, because the goatee itself must produce some kind of IQ improvement. They're all getting one. I think I'm going to have to get rid of my goatee, which I've had since I'm 18 years old. It's now time to get rid of it. I have 170 IQ. I think I should reduce the goatee. Maybe I can give some of the hairs from my goatee as a gift to Hollywood. Perhaps it will help them. But this is not a laughing matter. When you have fools like this coming up with statements like that after a time like this and a time like that, where Obama is turning America upside down, this is a very dangerous time. Obama goes after a radical Christian group that he claims attempted to use weapons of mass destruction against the police. Now, we don't know what they mean by weapons of mass destruction. No one's even asked the question. But I have a question for you on the Savage Nation. Attorney General Eric Holder has demanded that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his terrorist cronies at Guantanamo get the benefit of gold standard civilian trials in the American justice system. Will the Christian militia members get the same treatment? Will the Christian militia members get the same level of legal assistance as the terrorists are getting? Will top-flight American law firms fly in the lowest scum of the planet with law degrees to defend them? Will the Christian militias have trials with much publicity? Will the Christian militia members have access to the internet as the terrorists have at Guantanamo? Helicopters were sent out with paramilitary forces to capture the Christian militia members. I have a question, though. Why weren't those same black helicopters sent to the collecting points of those who plotted to blow up U.S. military bases such as Fort Dix? Why has the Obama administration raided the houses of Christian militia members while not raiding communities such as Islamburg, which we've reported on for years on the Savage Nation? We know that military training has been observed at some Islamic communities in the United States of America, and yet nothing was done under Bush, nothing was done under Obama. We're going to have an expert on the show in a few minutes, in 20 minutes, who is going to talk about the Islamburgs around America. And we're going to find out why the government gives them a pass and why they crack down on this crackpot militia. Next, amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. Nationalization of the financial industry. Step by step, Obama is going from baby dictator to papa dictator right in front of your eyes. This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. An Arizona rancher who was a good Samaritan. He helped many illegal aliens who were dying of thirst by giving them water. One of them executed him on his own ranch after months of his wife begging the U.S. government to defend their ranch. And Big Sis did nothing. Her husband was killed by an illegal alien. Yet no black helicopters to stop the infiltration. No black helicopters when you need them. I have a question for you. Why? What about the Russia bombings? What do you think about Putin's tough talk? You know, it was his tough talk originally that got him elected to the position he's in. He made a threat to wipe out the Chechen rebels in the outhouse after they were blamed for a series of apartment building bombings that terrorized Moscow in 1999. Putin was prime minister of Russia at the time. He sent in overwhelming military force to pound the region into submission and was elected president the following year. And so now he is, in a way, embarrassed. He's embarrassed because the Chechens came back to blow up the subway station a block or two away from the Federal Security Police, which is the equivalent of their FBI. Monday's subway bombings carried out by two Muslim women are the first terrorist attacks in Moscow in 6 years. Notice how the vermin in the media have been quick to say Christian militia, Christian militia, Christian militia. But when they report on the bombings in Moscow, they don't say radical Muslims. They say radical Christians. All right, let's give the benefit of the doubt. We'll assume they're Christians and they're radicals. I'll take the government's word for it. Although why I should take the government's word for anything is beyond me. Liberals have said for years that someone accused of a crime is innocent until proven guilty. Do you think that this administration will maintain this standard when it comes to the Christian militia members who were arrested over the weekend? I kind of doubt it. But let's put that aside for the minute. Something is wrong with the whole picture. For this raid to have occurred when it did, right after Obama forced this health care down the throats of the American people against the will of the majority of the American people, right after making recess appointments of a communist here, a communist there, here a commie, there a commie, everywhere a left-wing radical, Obama put them in without any oversight by Congress, again bypassing the Congress, again acting like a petty tyrant, a petty dictator, again acting like a man out of control on his own power, drunk on his own power, put people in, passed the health care using every trick, every tactic known to the worst of governments around the world. Then he slams in appointees who could never pass any kind of scrutiny whatsoever. And then he flies off to visit the troops. Here's a man who was allegedly anti-war, never fired a BB gun, and yet suddenly he's commander-in-chief. There he is, getting the accolades from the troops. The poor guy's over there facing these Islamic murderers on a daily basis. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, we wake up and we find out that black helicopters were sent in to arrest the Christian militia in Michigan. Well, why? Does the timing strike you as odd? Again, remember again, perhaps they are radicals. Perhaps they did plan some kind of actions. But still in all, why was the raid conducted when it was conducted? The timing is suspect, as far as I am concerned. I think it was used to cover up all of the past excesses of this administration. He thought the country would rally around him. Well, the only people rallying around him are the same groups that put him in power. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the Radical National Lawyers Guild, the subversive ACLU, 99% of the vermin in the media who are all fifth columnists, they're rallying behind Obama on a daily basis. And what about the poor Jews? You heard me. Relations between the United States of America and Israel have never been worse. In all of the years since Israel was created, relations between Israel and the United States have never been worse. Are you surprised? You have a president whose middle name is not Yasha Heifetz. His middle name is not Barack Heifetz Obama. His middle name is not Barack Abraham Obama. His middle name is not Barack Moses Obama. His middle name is not Barack, etc. Obama. His middle name is Hussein. We weren't allowed to mention it. John McCain said, don't mention his middle name. It's not allowed. Many of you feared the man was a secret sympathizer with, let us say, Muslim causes. Is there any doubt as to why he sent this signal to his friends in Saudi Arabia that there's a new sheriff in town, a sheriff who favors the Arabs over the Jews? That may be a legitimate decision, but don't be deceived about it. He has sent a signal that says, I favor the Arab Muslim world over this tiny nation of Israel, which means nothing to me. Why? A, it's small. B, it's insignificant. And C, frankly, I have a bias against it. I'll be right back.
Tell us exactly why they mounted these raids. The group in question here is called the Huttery, which, according to their website, means Christian warriors. The story is shining a spotlight on a previously obscure corner of our culture where religion and militia movement meet.
What about where religion and Islamists meet? How come that's not getting ABC's panties in a knot? Now, of course, the government media complex is spinning into overdrive for Obama to justify the new equivalent of Ruby Ridge. And here's something that came out from the disgraced ABC News just now. Stone family wedding was held in full Huttery military garb. I guess camouflage combat uniforms are somehow frightening to boys from NYU. So they wore military uniforms? Doesn't our military wear military uniforms? I don't get it. I don't quite understand the threat of that, do you? And here's another really horrible thing that the Huttery did with their children. I'm almost ashamed to report it. But ABC News is now reporting that the Christian militia that was raided by Big Sis, they homeschooled their children. Can you believe that? They wouldn't send their children to a government school to learn how to put a condom on a cucumber, to learn how to spit on the American flag, to learn how to distrust mother and father, to learn how to laugh at Jesus. They just wouldn't do it. I mean, these were really hyper people. And then ABC is reporting the final blow against them. The parents drank too much coffee. They seemed very hyper. They just didn't drink alcohol. And now you cannot trust an American who doesn't drink alcohol. It's not like the rest of us. After all, he's not like the RNC. He didn't go to strip clubs. How can you trust a man who drinks coffee, believes in the Republic? I mean, this is suspect. Homeschooling a child, drinking coffee, wearing a military uniform? That's un-American. You got to be like the RNC, go to strip clubs. No black helicopters for old men. That's all I can say. No black helicopters for old men. Where are the black helicopters when we needed them? When all of the Islam birds were popping up around America. Yeah, you finally got the sound. I was ad-libbing it for you. That's actually not the sound of Huey. It's not the sound of a... it's too small a helicopter. That's not a black helicopter. Is there anyone in the audience who could tell me what kind of helicopter that is? Play it again loud. You've got to have a nut in the audience to know. That's a very small motor. No, no, no. That's not a real frightening helicopter. Get me a black helicopter. Like, you need to get me a, one of them, the types that was knocked down in whatever helicopter. Black Hawk down. I need a Black Hawk down, or a Cobra. Even an older Cobra rather than a Black Hawk. So what do you want to do? I think this is a cover-up for the threat against the Republican candidate by the anti-Semite. The reason they're making this so big is because the Obama supporter, who actually threatened Eric Cantor and was actually arrested for threatening Eric Cantor, Norman Lee Boone, is a vicious anti-Semite, arrested for it, makes anti-Semitic rants, and of course the government sweeps that under the table and talks about the Christian militia that was raided by Big Sis. Let's listen to clip 30.
Assalamu alaikum. Shalom to my loving children. I'm your Messiah. I am the former God with the name of Zeus, Zion, and Ra. I'm here, and I am here with my son, Messiah. His name's Atum. He's my first Atum ever, and he is all 12 tribes of Israel. That my punishment and wrath is most severe, most painful and agonizing. And frankly, I don't give a damn of what you care, because I will destroy you, every one of you. Every company, every building, every home, everything, I created it. It belongs to my son. I did tell the governments to study the Pharaoh.
They now let's stop listen. Here. This is the these are the rantings of the nut charged with making anti-Semitic and bodily threats against Representative Eric Cantor. He certainly should have been arrested because he threatened Republican Eric Cantor. This was not like a fake slur against Barney Frank. The only people who could slur Barney Frank better than Barney Frank would be Barney Frank himself. Only Barney Frank could slur himself in a mirror in the morning.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about why black helicopters were sent out against the Christian militia, perhaps rightly so. But why the government under Bush and now under Obama were see no evil, hear no evil when it came to similar camouflage-dressed Islamic such compounds, according to the guest we're about to have on, Dr. Paul Williams. Now, before we go to Dr. Williams, I want to go to something, back to something. I want to finish it up for the moment. In Russia, I want you to hear how they write in the Russian newspapers and why they still sell newspapers in Russia, and why the vermin in America can't sell a newspaper here. The Russian newspaper, Izvestia, wrote this. You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready? We have always believed and we continue to believe that terrorists must be hunted down and found in their lairs, and they must be poisoned like rats. They must be crushed and destroyed, said Ramzan Kadyrov in the Russian daily Izvestia, a day after the daily rush hour attacks in the Moscow subway stations. The newspaper headline went on, the editorial went on, the struggle against terrorists must involve the toughest measures, and defeating this evil with only persuasion and educational measures is impossible. At least the Russians know their enemy. Joining us now is Dr. Paul Williams. Dr. Williams, welcome back. Paul, you were on the show several years ago. You excited the audience by telling us that there were Islamic training centers or militia-like groups all over the country. Whatever happened with that?
I was back there, Dr. Savage, very recently. I don't live too far away from Islamburg, which is located between Hancock and Deposit, New York. It's up in the mountains, right at the at really the foothills of the Catskills.
The Catskills, and, really, the Borscht Belt has become the Vail Belt.
Yes, yes. But right in the Borscht Belt, as you said, they have a 70-acre compound. And at that compound, the Muslims there, primarily black Muslims, engage in paramilitary training. This has been going on for since 1980.
Now let's pause. Are they currently training in paramilitary manner?
They are currently training, and I was there, and I can send.
Oh, wait, wait. Now, come on, Paul. Dr. Williams, you're on the Savage Nation. It's a national show. Big Sis just raided a Christian militia group for training in camouflage and threatening the government, they say. Why do you suppose the government does nothing to the Islambergs in America?
Let me state this, and I want to state it emphatically, that if I am lying, I should be arrested. I should be taken out and thrown into a cell. I swear to you on my mother's grave. At Islamberg, they have semi-automatic and fully automatic weapons being used by felons in underground bunkers. I have filmed them.
You filmed them, and have you turned it over to Big Sis?
I have turned it over to Big Sis, and nothing happened. In 2005, the FBI, after all the neighbors complained about the rat-tat-tat, rat-tat-tat, night and day from the firing ranges there, and the shenanigans that are going on in Islamberg, the explosions and everything, when all the neighbors complained and complained and complained, finally in 2005, the FBI descended on Islamberg, but not to investigate it. They were there to take part in a picnic with the
blood. Well, that's like Matthew Modine sitting down with the enemy to ask them why they're angry.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've got to find out why they're angry. Now, you don't suppose the government is actually sympathetic to them, do you? They're not the private national militia security that we're all so afraid of, are they?
Dr. Savage, I can't understand this because they have there are sites like this, and I've been at sites like this throughout the country. Falls Church, Virginia, Commerce, Georgia. I've seen.
Hold on. Let's tell the audience what you're saying here. Paul Williams is going on record on the Savage Nation today, March 30th, 2010. He is reporting that he should be arrested. He's sworn in his mother's grave that he's telling the truth, that there are radical Muslim cells practicing with automatic and semi-automatic machine guns in the United States of America. Is that your testimony, Dr. Williams?
That is my testimony. They have IEDs, they have pipe bombs.
Wait. But the Christian militia was just arrested for saying they were going to make IEDs.
Well, they one of these compounds in 1989 was raided by the FBI, and they confiscated, once again, semi-automatic and fully automatic weapons and bombs. And yet, despite this raid in Buena Vista, Colorado, they never looked at the other compounds that are throughout the country, and they continue to operate right under the nose of the FBI. And the FBI knows exactly what's going on there, and so does the New York State Police. I've met with them. So does the Pennsylvania State Police. I've met with them. I can send photographs to your website of that I was in the camps. I wasn't just didn't drive by it. I've been in there. I photographed it.
Now, these are radical Muslims with machine guns training now in the United States of America, and the government does nothing about them?
It does absolutely nothing about it. And let's look at this group. These compounds are operated by Jamaat al-Fukra. They have been guilty of more crimes than any other group, white supremacist, any other group in the United States. They have been found guilty of homicide, conspiracy to commit murder, firebombings, gun smuggling, grand theft, workers' compensation fraud. Members of Jamaat al-Fukra.
Let's go back now. To be fair, Bush looked the other way too, didn't he?
Did. Absolutely.
Didn't Bush look the other way and do nothing?
Absolutely. He should be taken out and tarred and feathered. Absolutely.
All right. So why would Bush look the other way? Why would Obama look the other way? And why now did they attack the Christian militia?
Well, I really don't know. But I can tell you this, and you can all of your listeners, the millions of your listeners can verify this. The members of this Jamaat al-Fukra, well, I'm talking about Islamberg and these other compounds, include John Allen Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo, the Beltway snipers, Richard Reed, the shoe bomber.
Wait, you're saying they were all trained at one of these Islamberg-like compounds?
Mousawi. It was affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra.
Well, wait, how could all this be going on? The government looks the other way and the media doesn't report on it. How is it possible?
Because the only place you can report it, and I'm at my wit's end. I've written for every leading, for the Washington Post, USA Today. The only place where you can get the truth is right here on the Savage Nation.
That's not true. But, you know, if you were saying these things and didn't swear on your mother's grave, I would be somewhat skeptical of what you're saying. I don't think you would ever, ever make a statement like that and swear on your mother's grave. Now, what evidence do you have to support your allegations?
I have photographs. I have, once again, words and what I say. Well,
right all right,
now.
But wait, are they current or are they from 2005?
Oh, no. I go up there every year. I go up there all the time. They're current. There are, and I'm saying this in fact, there are. I talked to the guy that built the underground bunker in Islamburg.
Yes.
And I've seen the underground. A lot of their paramilitary training right now takes place underground. But a large part of it, still a large part of it, takes place on their firing ranges. Do you know what they fire at? School buses.
Well, what do you mean? You mean old school buses that are used as targets?
Junks, yeah, junk school buses and other vehicles, yeah. And
would any of those be the magical mystery tour bus left over from Woodstock up on the farm? They probably bought it at a discount, or even who was the guy who wrote the thing about the bus? Those old hippie buses. Who? Ken Kesey's old bus. What if they use that for target practice?
There you go. Yeah, Ken Kesey, and
yeah. I mean, with the stench coming out of that bus, I don't blame them for using it for target practice. But putting the bad jokes aside, if what you say is true, and I have to say if, because I can't believe you can come on the show, make those statements, and the government can look the other way. Because after today, this is going to wind up on YouTube. Are you on YouTube with any of this?
Am I?
Yeah. Do you have any YouTube video of these Islamburg training?
No, Michael. I don't use YouTube. But you know, I mean, people call me like you. I'll give you everything I have. Oh, by the way, let me tell you
No. Let's not go past it. But wait a minute. You're making serious allegations. You're saying the government's looking the other way. You claim radical Islamic cells are using machine guns. They have IEDs. And you say you've been on the property. Please tell us why you could not get a video of it.
Because I didn't have a video camera, but I did take photographs.
Okay, you have still pictures.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Do these still pictures, are they such that one can say where you are, or you couldn't say where they were taken?
In fact, I went up there with several people, Bill Crerar, who's joins me in a lot of these excursions, and Pat Walsh. I'm in the pictures talking to the people, the sentries at Islamburg.
Let's say you call up the FBI saying, look, I want you to investigate it. You have to. You have an office up here in this area, and I'm scared, and I have 50 other people who are scared. Why don't you investigate it? Have you ever done that?
Of course I have. I've met with law enforcement people about it.
And what happens?
Nothing's ever done. Let me tell you one other thing about Islamburg and the other compounds. And I'm stating this emphatically. And if I'm telling a lie, I really want to be thrown into a nut house or in the slammer. There are bodies buried at Islamburg, and I have seen that.
Oh, God. Now we're getting ghoulish.
The truth?
I don't know. I don't know now. Now, I don't know how the federal authorities, the local authorities, could ignore such a statement. They're required to investigate such claims. They're required by law to investigate this.
Investigate? I want them to talk to me. There are bodies buried there.
Now already, I don't know. Now with the bodies, I don't know what to say. Now I'm nonplussed. You had me going there, but with the bodies now, I'm not sure.
I have photographs. I can even send those photographs.
I'm afraid to receive the photographs. They're liable to drag me into something. Why don't you send the photographs to the FBI or the New York State Police?
I've given them everything that I have.
How about Major League websites? Why won't they publish any of this?
They're all, look at any of them, anybody that reaches out to me, I will be glad to give them all the information.
Well, there are some major websites, I'm not going to name them. You know them as well as I do. Have you tried to send the pictures to them?
Most of them are neocon. And, you know, the neocons don't want to hear this about the Muslims. They don't want to hear about the threat.
Well, one of them who runs a big website is the Zelig of our time. Every day I wake up, he's leading another parade somewhere. He's become the Zelig of the conservative movement. Wherever there's a tea party, a parade, an award, a bake sale, a pie-throwing contest, he's leading it. I don't know how the man does it. He's the Zelig of our time. Have you sent it to the Zelig of our time, the so-called conservative Zelig?
I know exactly who you're talking. Yes. I, yes.
Well, my friend, I don't know where to go with this. I once contributed money. Didn't I send you some contribution once?
You have been my godsend. You certainly have.
I didn't know where the money went. I sent money. You got me so crazy here. I sent the contribution. I don't know what you did with it.
You sent me. You have that. By the way, that lawsuit is still going on. I'm being sued in Canada under Canadian law.
Oh, that's right. To defend you against the lawsuit in Canada. I like to take on causes that are hopeless, because my case is hopeless in England, and no one's helped me. So I figured maybe I'll help someone else.
Well, you are a saint to me. Because that lawsuit is still going on, and I want you to know, I would not let you down. I will not apologize.
No, I wouldn't have had you on today, but what got me going was they cracked down on a, quote, Christian militia for wearing camouflage outfits and for allegedly plotting or conspiring against the federal government. Now, they haven't actually killed anyone. They didn't hurt anyone, thank God. But they say there's a conspiracy to do so. Isn't that equivalent to the Islamburgs, according to you?
Well, not only that, but the people at Islamburg, they're taken out of prison. They have weapons. I mean, that's felons with weapons. Most of them are on welfare. Jamal al-Fukra collects 60% of their welfare checks and gives them the 40%. And every year...
Members of ACORN as well? Do they get out the vote up in the sticks up there?
Of course. But every year, this is important, they are sent to Pakistan for further training.
Come on, now you're making this up. Paul, come on. They go to Pakistan for training?
As God is my judge, is the Lord God...
I got such a migraine right now from this conversation. I feel like I'm being sucked into a vortex.
They're sent every year to Pakistan for...
I got a migraine on me right now. I don't even want to tell you. Here's what I'm going to do, Paul. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. Will you take a couple of questions from people more cynical than I?
Absolutely.
All right, you got a pair on you, boy. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's a report from 2006 on this subject. Welcome back to the Savage Nation from WorldNet Daily, which we're going to post on Michael Savage. It says, probe finds terrorists in U.S. training for war. Neighbors of Muslim encampment fear retaliation if they report to police. Joining us on the show, and it's got to be very quick, is Dr. Paul Williams. Welcome back. Let's take one quick call right now, a question for you. Dan in San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Dan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul and Michael. I have no doubt what he's saying is true. It is evident that it's true. I know it myself that it's true. My question is, why aren't we doing anything about it?
Well, how do you know it's true, though?
Well, look, you know, people ask whether Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Come on, we all know he did. We all know where they are, and it's time we start dealing with the truth.
But to think that the Borscht Belt is becoming the Veil Belt is amazing to me. You could argue that more people died from the cuisine of the Borscht Belt than have ever died from all of the military paramilitary training up there, but... Dr. Williams, last word on the Savage Nation.
Oh, well, the last word is, I really think, and I invite the FBI, Homeland Security, I would love them to come and speak to me, and I'd like to take them on a little tour of several of these compounds that I have visited.
But this has been going on for over 10 years, and the government has done nothing. Why?
That is a $64 question. I really, really can't, especially when you have such people who
nearly every weekend, sound of gunfire can be heard from the camp. According to one neighbor who stated he's a combat veteran of the Vietnam War, some of the weapons are of automatic and large caliber. They also heard small explosions. This is on the WorldNet Daily article from 2006. So this is not new news. It's old news. The only reason I'm having it on now is because the Christian militia was arrested for similar activities, and we don't know why. We can't understand it.
And it's a very relevant and a very pertinent
All right, question. Dr. Williams, where can people look at your pictures?
I can post them at thelastcrusade.org. I'll post them tonight there.
That's a heck of a website. That sure should build up peace between religions. But okay, Dr. Williams, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. Well, the migraine didn't get any better. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We'll go back to regular programming. You don't know what to say with a thing like this. You just don't. You just don't know what to say. How could the man make statements like this if they weren't true? How could he say he swears in his mother's grave? How could he? I don't know, but the world is a crazier place than it was even 10 years ago. You have to admit that, right? It's a crazier place than it was 10 years ago, correct? Right? You have radical Islam. You have radical Islamic training camps in the United States of America. You have radical mosques preaching hatred around the clock. We didn't say all mosques. We said radical mosques. They're producing murderers. They're producing terrorists, and the FBI does nothing until it actually happens. And yet in this case, against the Christian militia, the FBI takes a proactive stance, raids the Christian militia, disarms them, and arrests them. Why don't they do it the other way is what we're asking. That's the question, and I think it's a useful question for the United States of America to be asking itself. Let's conclude this hour with the genius Matthew Modine with a goatee in clip 7.
Imagine if somebody were to really sit down with Osama bin Laden and say, listen, man, what is it that you're so angry at me about that you're willing to have people strap bombs to themselves or get inside of airplanes and fly them into buildings? That would be the miracle if we could sit down and talk to our
genius,
enemies.
Genius.
And have a fine
genius
way
from Hollywood deserves the Nobel for this.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There is so much discord in the world as a result of religion that I'm playing Hare Krishna music because it harkens back to my days as a grad student at the University of California at Berkeley when the Krishnites would dance during my breaks, you know, from hard days studying, job at night, whatever. I would buy the tofu, the girls had the patchouli oil, didn't shave under the arm, the symbols. But those days are gone. Today, everything about religion has to do with enmity. Now, many people are rushing to the conclusion, which is false, that religion has caused the deaths of more people than any other factor on earth. Now, it is true that millions of people have died as a result of religion, but it's also more true that more people have died as a result of no religion, statism, than have died as a result of religious wars. In other words, in the 20th century alone, over 100 million people died as a result, not of religion, but as a result of communism, not as a result of Catholicism, not as a result of Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, or Hinduism. They died of statism. So don't rush to the false conclusion that your professors are teaching you, that religion teaches hatred, and religious division is responsible for more murders than anything else. Sure, there were the Crusades, which were initiated by the Muslims. You don't know that either. And then, of course, the Christians reinitiated the counter-crusade to take back Jerusalem. All you hear is that the Christians conducted Crusades, and they were horrible, and they were. according to all historical record. But you don't know it was the Muslims who tried to seize land from the Christians. So back and forth it goes. And millions of people have died as a result, probably hundreds of thousands of people have died as a result of religious tensions between groups, while tens of millions have died as a result of communism. I can name, of course, the Soviet Union, China, 60 million people died or were starved to death by Mao Zedong, Pol Pot's Cambodia, not to do with religion, but to do with Marxism. So please understand you've been given a false education with regard to hating religion. I myself have trouble with formal religion. I always have. I've always had a real problem with houses of worship. It's just me. I'm kind of a person who has trouble with conformity to begin with. I have trouble with sitting through lectures. I don't like any lectures. I particularly don't like religious mumbo-jumbo. I mean, but look, I think ritual's very important, especially for the very young and the very old. Let me put it to you that way. Children need religion to keep them centered, or else they don't know right from wrong. They'll become animals without religion, or at least Marin County residents, one or the other. Without religion, they're liable to become virtually anything, even the mayor of San Francisco. But with religion, at least there's a hope. At least they have a red light and a green light and a yellow light. They know what's right from wrong. How would you raise a child? Think about it. How do you raise a child? What do you teach them? Be nice to everybody? That's stupid. Love everybody? That's idiotic. That's something that a moron would teach a child. You tell them to love a stranger and put him in a van with a clown face? You tell them not to love everybody. Tell them to fear strangers, you schmuck. Most of you who give advice on raising children don't have any. You teach your child skepticism. You teach them the real world. You hold them by the hand and you shake them and say, don't go with strangers. Most of them are good, but some of them are very bad. Don't go with strangers. Period. End of story. That's what you teach them. Don't teach them love everybody. What do you think you are, Richard Gere? So you got to watch out what you do with your children. And much of the advice, it's advice from idiots who don't have any children. Go raise a child. Try it for a number of years, 24/7, and you'll know something about raising children. But let's get back to the news of the day. Here's a breaking story on Drudge. Again, another victory for Obama, I guess. Iran nuclear scientist defects to U.S. in CIA intelligence coup. Notice how it's all coming out after Obama's disastrous, divisive healthcare debacle. Notice how it's all this stuff coming right after that. Now, remember, an award-winning Iranian nuclear scientist who disappeared last year under mysterious circumstances has defected to the CIA and been resettled in the United States. But he defected last year. Why are we getting the story today? Government media complex. Obama divides America. Obama turns people against each other. Obama further bankrupts America. Obama basically disrespects the Constitution. He makes people crazier than they've been in 50 or 100 years. And now all of a sudden he's shown in a saintly manner. And now we hear real intelligence coup for the CIA. Why didn't we hear about this 6 months ago? Follow the bouncing ball of the government media complex. That's my job for you. So he's defected to the USA, he says the CIA, and he's resettled in the U.S. Of course, we don't know where. It's like witness protection. But there's this picture. Shahram Amiri, a nuclear physicist, went missing last June, 3 days after arriving in Saudi Arabia on a pilgrimage. That would be a pilgrimage, no doubt, to the holy city. And he was sent to the U.S. by his own agreement. And now we have him. We don't know where he is or what he does, but I'll tell you what's shocking. He looks just like a guy I looked at a car at a GM dealership not too long ago. The only way for me to tell for sure would be to go and touch the door handle, because that's the only sure way to tell if it's the same person. I would have to see Shahram Amiri, shake his hand, then go into a quiet corner and see what kind of, and then go into the car salesman and see if it's the same. This stuff is like nothing I've ever seen. I don't know what it is with the Iranian lotions that they put. I don't know why it's so strong. What is it about the Iranian? God bless the Iranian people who fled the Shah. I mean, who fled Khomeini. I mean, you know that I'm a fan, but what's with the stuff? It's like nuclear perfume that they use. I'm going to get funny now and giddy. There's so much bad news. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take the government media complex. Long-planned CIA operation. Doesn't he look like, we're getting comedic in the political arena now. I'm sorry, but the guy who runs the CIA, what's his name again, Beowulf? Does anyone know the head of the CIA? He's like invisible. Leon Panetta, right. Leon Panetta. I mean, Leon Panetta runs the CIA. Good friend of Nancy Pelosi, by the way. His last known job was running a university nobody ever heard of. No intelligence experience whatsoever. But we're to believe now it's a big coup for the CIA. Okay. All right. So it's a big coup. And what now? What's next? I mean, what's next? They're going to bring Osama bin Laden in on a platter and Matthew Modine is going to sit down and have a cup of coffee with him? This is unbelievable to me. What else is in the news? I can't even read my own website. I may as well read Drudge's website. Putin calls for bombers to be scraped from sewers. I like that. There's a certain ring to that, isn't there? Wouldn't you like to hear Obama get up and say the guy who almost did the airplane bomb should be scraped from a sewer? Wouldn't you be happier if he did that once in a while instead of attacking Israel? Wouldn't that be nice if one day you woke up and you finally knew which side they were on and which team they were playing for? Play Hare Krishna for me. I'm getting too hot right now. I really want to... I could turn the clock back. Driving over the Richmond Bridge to Berkeley in my old Volvo. My four-cylinder Volvo with a shift on the floor. I think it was a floor shifter. I don't even remember. I was poor, an impoverished grad student, raising children, living in a substandard house that I bought in a horrendous town called Fairfax, filled with the meanest people on the planet Earth. You know, I want to talk about mean people. You know what I discovered? I travel back and forth on an irregular basis between the East and West Coast. Let's have this discussion for a minute. Why are people in the San Francisco area, they're mean, they don't communicate, they're hostile, there is an over a sense of something about them where they think they're better than everybody. Then you come to like the East Coast. Yeah, I'm the kind of guy who like interchanges with people on a daily basis. Let me put it to you that way. I don't care whether it's the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. It could be, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of a human interchange. I'm going to show you the difference. I could go to a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco I've eaten in for 30 years, which I do, and never have a human interchange with them. They look at me like they hate me. They know me. They feed me. They take my money. You can't get a smile out of them. You can't get a kindness. I'm picking Chinese for a reason. Because I come here to a Chinese restaurant, I'll show you the opposite. I go to a restaurant. It's not a really great restaurant. The reason I went is my mother died down here a number of years ago in 2004. And I heard she used to eat in this joint. So I go there whenever I'm down here. It's like a little pilgrimage for me. The food isn't good. It's not bad. It's okay. It's in the middle of nowhere. I go in the other night, late at night. I sit in the booth, probably I imagine my mother right there. They don't know me from a hole in the wall. So the waitress comes over. Chinese woman speaks very poor English. Guarantee she speaks better English than I do Mandarin, okay? And blah, blah, blah. And I say to her right off the bat, I said, my mother, she passed away a number of years ago, but she used to eat here. You know what this woman says to me? She says to me, oh, so that's why you come here. Immediately, she got it right away. The human continuum, immediately she picked up on the humanity of why I'm eating there. I didn't tell her that. But now you could try that in San Francisco till your guts fall out. No one will respond to you. They're all so superior. All the geniuses of the San Francisco area, not a scintilla of the milk of human kindness. The meanest, most horrendous people on the planet, by and large. So the woman then, she says that to me. That whatever you say to her, you get a human reaction and a laugh. Why is that? Was it just the luck of the draw? Was it this particular nice woman? No. It's East Coast, West Coast. I found it wherever I go. I'm a kind of guy, you'd call me a schmoozer when I want to be. I'm a reclusive guy because I've learned to be reclusive living in the anti-human Bay Area, the anti-human Bay Area, where no matter who you say a word to, you get like a half of a human being answer. You get a half an answer from people or no answer at all, or they look at you like you're crazy. I'm the type of person who likes to talk to a person, whether I'm doing business with them, I make a joke. I'm the kind of guy who would make a joke in a hospital if it was the last day of my life and I could still talk to get a laugh out of the doctor, right? That's the kind of personality I am. You know the type I am, the kind everyone loves when they don't know them. Okay, then you have the Bay Area. You try and they don't respond to you. They give you the dead eyes, the non-afferent dead eyes. Why do the people of the San Francisco area have such dead eyes and such non-reactive personalities? Why is San Francisco filled with the biggest snots on the planet? I don't have the answer for you. I actually think I know, but I won't say it to you. While I come to the East Coast, I don't care what the race or religion is. They could be Haitian. I can get a laugh out of them. Why can I communicate with a Haitian who doesn't know me? I could go to a deli counter in a Publix market and ask for ham, and in 2 minutes I have the woman laughing. Why? Explain it to me. Well, I can't get a reaction out of anybody in the Bay Area. No matter, I lived there 50 years. It doesn't matter. They're dead. like ghouls. It's like the Night of the Living Dead. If anybody could answer this question, why people on the East Coast, no matter what the race or religion, are more reactive or interactive. I'll give you another example. I'll give one more, then I'm going to take a break because I'm on a roll. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, the first hour on this show today was very hard news. I'm into like a different space right now. The hard news is up on michaelsavage.com. But before the break, I raised an issue, a question. Why are people, I'm talking not, you see, the whole West Coast obviously isn't the same. San Francisco is uniquely filled with you-know-whats, snotty losers who act like they're all important, non-reactive, won't give you the decency of a human reaction during an interchange. I'm saying by and large, there are exceptions. I come to the East Coast, I don't care what the race or religion is, the people are more responsive, more reactive to a human interaction. You know what I'm talking about? The palaver of the human being. You know what I'm talking about? You say something and a person reacts. I'm saying, I'll give you an example. Today, I'm on the East Coast. So I go to a buffet, a Chinese buffet. Cheap. Who eats there? Gardeners. People who don't have money. That's my kind of place because I've tried it before and the food's actually quite good. I don't know how they survive. Most people wouldn't go to a buffet if they have money. They say, oh, I wouldn't go there. All right, don't go there. What do I care? I'm like a very compulsive eater. When I want to eat, I want to eat. I don't want to talk to a waiter. I don't want to hear blah, blah, blah. I'm not in the mood for fancy dining most of the time. I go in there to eat. I'm going to give an example. I take Teddy in with me because he has I asked the woman, do you mind if he sits under the table? You know, they're not doing great business. So two guys, these are two white guys at one of the tables, say to me, don't bring him too close to the kitchen. So I didn't know what they were saying. I said, oh, yeah, he's liable to eat more food than me because it's an all-you-can-eat. They said, no, we mean don't take him to the kitchen. They're liable to cook him. And I laughed. We just had a joke. I don't even know who these guys are. They're ordinary Joes, right? Rednecky kind of guys. And we didn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we had a joke. Never would happen in the Bay Area. Never in 30 years living there would you have an interchange with strangers like this. Everyone is terrified of their own shadow. I've never seen such people in my life as in San Francisco, and I don't know what's wrong with them. I go to L.A. I can have interactions with Iranians, with black people, with Mexican people. I can get reactions from people. All right, not as well as on the East Coast. They're also a little on the slow uptake side. I don't know whether it's a low IQ. I don't know what it is. The East Coast people are either smarter, faster, doesn't... I don't know the answer. I don't know why. Do you? Brian in New York on WOR, give me the answer. Why are people in San Francisco so screwed up?
Because they all want to be like New Yorkers, Mike, not realizing that New Yorkers and East Coast people are some of the most generous, friendliest...
Well, why would you say they want to be like New Yorkers in San Francisco? New Yorkers don't behave that way. If I go to New York, I can get a reaction from the butcher. I can get it from a souvlaki stand. I get it from anybody, by and large. I mean, there are hostile people, but by and large, they understand the rules of the road. You know what I'm saying? You say something to a stranger in an interaction, they usually will respond to you in a nice way.
You're a native New Yorker.
Well, originally, yes, but I'm one of the only ones left. Everyone else died.
Native New Yorker.
There are no native New Yorkers left. They're all from Cleveland pretending they're from New York. They're all living in the meatpacking district. They think they're original New Yorkers living in a place where they slaughtered animals.
My point exactly. I have four generations deep of New Yorkers here.
Okay. Yeah, but San Francisco is funny. The real San Franciscans are very much like New Yorkers. The Irish, the Italians who used to live out in the avenues, the North Beachers, they're the real San Franciscans. The rest of the city is filled with interlopers from Cleveland who get the green hair. They ride the bicycle on Friday night blocking traffic, and they go, wee, and they think that they're real San Franciscans having a wonderful time, you know.
Good luck to you, my friend, and come back to New York.
Nah, I'm not coming back anywhere. Believe me, you can't go home again. Let me tell you about that. That was a heck of a novel. You can't go home again. Who wrote that? Was it Thomas Wolfe? I don't want to miss Thomas Wolfe. You can't go home again. That is so true. You can't go home again. You can't go. It's like going to that restaurant the other night where my mother, may rest, used to eat. What did I get out of it? I got a bad scallop and a bad shrimp and a little heartburn. I mean, what did I gain from it? What are you going to commune with my mother? What are you going to do? All right, we'll do politics when I come back.
Savage.
If playing buffet music on the Savage Nation. The endless buffet music. There's something so discordant about eating in an Asian restaurant and listening to bad music that's not Asian. And you want to go up and say, can't you just play, you know, bad Chinese music? Something. How about you go in a Thai restaurant and they're playing very bad, just bad American music, crack music, for example. How can you eat that food? It's supposed to go with that. What's the difference? I'm from another universe. That's why I eat at home. I'm a recluse. I'd rather get takeout. That way I can control. It comes in, I'm watching the news, grinding my guts. It's good for digestion, I'll tell you that. Remember the Minute of Hatred that was promised by Orwell? Was it Orwell? In who wrote Brave New World? It was Huxley? Okay, Orwell talked about in the future there would be a time when people would watch little boxes and get their Minute of Hate. If we're not there, I'd like to know when we're there. You watch TV, you get the Minute of Hate, you don't know what to do with yourself. You know, everyone... Don't let me generalize. Please, leave me alone already with this. So here we are. We were talking about the Christian militia that was attacked by the black helicopters. Rightly or wrongly, we don't know. The timing seems suspect. Let's, for the minute, say that they're innocent until proven guilty. I know you don't believe it, because the government is always right, and of course they would never have used an agent provocateur to sell them a sort-off shotgun or anything like they did with Ruby Ridge. They wouldn't be doing that. You know a government is not willing to do a thing like that. You know how much they love people. But conversely, we've been hearing about Muslim training centers much like this, or camouflage and guns, going back now to 04, 05, 06. You know, we linked up from WND on this, the Islamberg thing we had Williams on. Why has the government not done the same with those groups is what we're asking you. Carla in New York on WOR, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I'm going to give you one answer, and then I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'll hang up and listen to your response. The answer to the big overarching answer to that question is spelled C-A-I-R. Okay? CAIR. The Council on Islamic Relations, you know them very well.
Yeah, I know who they are. Well, what do they have to do with the fact that groups like Islamberg are not invaded by, investigated or attacked by the FBI?
Because these groups are all interlinked through CAIR to Hezbollah and Hamas, and they have connections, especially today, very intimate connections with Obama. Very heavy fundraising was done in the Gaza and West Bank. The YouTubes you can still see today. I believe they weren't scrubbed, but you can see YouTubes of the phone banks. The fundraising phone banks for Obama during the 2008 election by Hamas and Hezbollah, they're still online. But I want to make you alerted to an article that was scrubbed off of the Internet yesterday. I have a copy of it because I copied and pasted it. It was written by Jennifer Chambers, a reporter for the Detroit News. In it, she reports that one of the groups, one of the Christian militias, which is located in Michigan, was arrested and targeted by the FBI because they were targeting one of these Islamic compounds. And according to the article, and I'm just going to read you one part of a sentence here, and I can email you the article, the FBI targeted this, the Hutari is the name of this Christian militia group in Michigan, targeted the group after its members made threats to an Islamic jihad compound. Now,
wait, hold on. You said an Islamic jihad compound? Is it in the article, the word jihad?
The word jihad is not in it, but it's later described as having...
Now, wait a minute. I have to tell you, I saw the original report that they were making threats against... It was like unspecified threats against Islamic targets. That's what I read. Okay. So now when you're embroidering and adding the word jihad, I don't believe it.
When I'm looking at these groups, by the way, there was a program. Frontline did an entire expose on these camps in the United States last year. It was called The Enemy Within. It was on PBS last year.
I saw it. So why haven't any of them been broken up by the U.S. government?
According to later in that same article, which I believe it says that one of the heads of this compound is working now with the FBI. Against the Christian things, because look, because Obama is looking, he's anti-Semite, he's pro.
Well, hold on now, I wouldn't go as far as saying he's an anti-Semite. He is definitely, let us say, taking the side of Saudi Arabia and the Arab Muslim bloc over the Israel, a Jewish bloc. I would say that's a more rational statement.
You said, Why would you not say he's Islam? I mean, there's not one.
Because he is not an Islamist at all. He is a politician who has decided that there are more Muslims than Jews, that we have more national interests in the Arab world than we do with Israel, and he's decided to move in that direction. He's not alone in that. There are many people in the same state of mind in government, and they have been for a long time. He's the first president to actually have moved in that direction, though.
Michael, I think you are, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I think you are dead wrong. You are not understanding the enemy that we have in this man. This man, in 1981, renewed his Indonesian passport. He went to Pakistan. He's been involved in anti-Semitic groups since his college
days. Well, now I understand that you are now moving into an area I'm not going to indulge in, Carla. You seem to have an awful lot of information that is not generally, let us say, available. Where did you get all this information?
I have my sources. I'm not comfortable talking online, on the radio, excuse me.
All right, then let's leave it at that. You got your voice heard on the national show, The Savage Nation, and when you will have the evidence, send it to the producers of The Savage Nation, and we'll try to see if it's any blah, blah. All right, let's go to the callers around America on different things. We got some amazing calls to go through. Sacramento, California. Rick, you're next up. Please make it quick on The Savage Nation.
Mike, on the lighter side, back to the problem in San Francisco.
Yes, the snotty people who don't have humanity.
I think it's because it's full of East Coast transplants.
Okay, so these are the misfits who couldn't make it in the East Coast. They came out West and took on an attitude, but in fact, they're still misfits.
I think so, because I was born and raised.
How do you explain grown people in their 30s riding bicycles to block traffic on a Friday afternoon in a thing called critical mass, and a mayor doesn't stop them, a police chief doesn't stop them, the people put up with it? How do you explain idiots who do that and think it's fun?
I think it's crazy. I've lost all faith in that city.
Well, I'll soon be back there. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449. I left my heart in San Francisco? No, not. I left my mind in San Francisco? Not either. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So what do you want to talk about that's light? Anything light, anything heavy, buffets, conversations with idiots? What else? Look at the sound my guy's collecting me. 5 pages of sound, and I don't have a drop of it on the show other than the moron Mudeen wants to talk with Osama bin Laden to make peace. What else do we have that's good? Oh, play Pelosi. She's always good for a moment of hate. Clip 16.
Protecting my incumbents, whether it was in 06 or 08 or now 010, is, again, my priority. I will, yes, be supporting all of them. We think good policy is good politics. We'll see how that plays out in the elections.
See, just her voice alone is enough to polarize America. The minute she speaks, half of America goes into a state of shock. Let's hear clip 15 since we
I talked to him the night of the vote, and he was very happy. And then I spoke to him the next morning, and he said, last night I was happier than I was the night I was elected president of the United States.
Right. Well, that tells you everything. See, she just gave it away. Again, she made a slip up. She said Obama was happier the night he passed socialized medicine than the night he was elected president of the United States. What does that say? Now, boys and girls of the Savage Nation, I've been telling you that Obama's a Marxist-Leninist. That I will not back down from that, because I can prove it. And it's coming out in a new book of mine. It'll be out in a few months. Prove it. How hard does it be to have to prove it? I mean, you don't have to be Daniel Webster to prove that one. But let's go past that statement. Why would Obama be happier the night he passed socialized medicine than the night he was elected president? Because every communist, one of the first things any communist dictator does, communist leader does, however you want to put it, is push through socialized medicine. Castro did it. Why did Castro want to produce a socialized medicine bill for Cuba? Why was he so anxious to do it? Because he who controls the medicines controls the people. You don't understand that yet. You people are so gullible, and you're so weak-minded and weak-spirited. You don't understand that he who controls your medications, he who has access to your medical records, he who can control whether you get treatment or not, how much treatment you get, etc., controls your life, particularly after you've been dumbed down and weakened for 30 years by an American Medical Association that tells you that every quirk and pain should be medicated or treated by a quack with a stethoscope. That's a complete statement that I just made. That's all. And so there it goes. Now you have a power-mad president who has the means to control you, not only from cradle to grave, but before cradle, from prenatal to post-grave. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, New York City, WOR. Cameron, welcome to the program. What's on your mind tonight? Gone, right? Gone with the wind? Okay, thanks for screening that one. Very good. We'll go to the next one. Bah, bah, bah. Chicago, Anthony, you're next on the Savage Nation, WIND. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I think that this raid is obviously part of Janet Napolitano's need to live up to her reputation with this memo she put out. You
right.
talked about
now,
it a
let's
lot.
Remind the listeners what the memo included and who wrote it. It was written by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a group that, in my opinion, is a criminal organization. The Southern Poverty Law Center has a nut named Potok who put out a memo approximately a year ago targeting Christian militias. Who else? Name it.
Soldiers.
And, returning military combat veterans, anti-abortion protesters. Who else? Who else did that moron Potok target?
Ooh, you got me there, Mike. I just know that it was
because
soldiers.
Everyone who was named in that memo by the moron Potok for the criminal Southern Poverty Law Center, every group is now going to be attacked by this government one after the other. They went after the most dangerous in their mind, the ones with guns. Wait until you see who they go after next. Those who believe in a right to life are going to get it. Those who are returning combat veterans are going to be investigated. I wouldn't doubt that those on the internet and talk radio who are conservative are going to be investigated. We are living in a proto-fascist United States of America. I stick by those words. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We are listening to a song. Last night I went to a Passover dinner. Alternative sounds like whatever. That's a Dayenu song. I'm going to explain to you the meaning of Passover, because Passover and Easter are in confluence. It's a very powerful time for those of us who are of the Jewish and or Christian faith. And people don't sometimes really understand what Passover really symbolizes. They know some of what it means. They don't know how powerful a meaning it really has in the universal message of Passover. So let me begin with the plagues that the ancient Israelites were afflicted with: blood, frogs, vermin, flies, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and cattle boils. In other words, sounds very much like Marin County to me, but the Jewish people were thanking God through the Seder for their freedom and their liberation from the slavery in Egypt. And this is the whole story of in the universal sense of humankind, but most particularly in this sense of Passover of the Jewish people. So during the Passover Seder, it's a ritualized form of saying thank you to God. And the Jewish people eat a flatbread called matzah. And it says that the flatbread is eaten, you're not supposed to eat any bread with yeast in it, to remind every Jew that his ancestors were actually enslaved in Egypt by the Arabs. And it says, this is the bread of affliction which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Let all those who are hungry enter and eat thereof, and all who are in distress come and celebrate the Passover. And so therefore, the Jewish people during these 10 days, I believe, eat only unleavened bread, to remind themselves. And the message that goes out, that's supposed to go out to every, let's say, religious Jew or any Jew who's got a conscience, is that remind yourself as though you yourself were in slavery in Egypt, and therefore you're a free man, and what are you going to do with your freedom? It's an amazing thing if you can do it to yourself even once a day, because you remember that your freedom is not guaranteed, number one. Your freedom can be taken away from you at any time by any, just about any police agency in this country, for example, can steal your freedom for nothing. Anyone listening to this show, you may think that you're smug and above it. You can't be touched. Let me tell you, there are more people in prison in the United States of America, proportion to the population, anywhere on earth. Your freedom could be taken away from you with a blink of an eye for no reason whatsoever. They could trump up charges. So the Jews celebrate their freedom, and they try to celebrate their freedom with the Passover celebration. But they always remember it was God who freed them. Didn't happen by accident. And so they sing a song, play the Dayenu song for a minute, and I'll tell you what it means in a minute. Right, so what that means is, if this, it means that that would have been enough. So you, the kids and the people sing, if God had brought us forth from Egypt and had not inflicted judgment upon the Egyptians, dayenu, it would have been enough. The next thing says, if God had inflicted justice on them and had not executed judgment upon their gods, it would have been sufficient, dayenu. And it goes on like that. If God had executed judgment upon their gods and had not slain their firstborn, that would have been sufficient, dayenu. If he had slain their firstborn and had not bestowed their wealth on us, dayenu, that would have been sufficient. And it goes down the list. If he had divided the sea for us and had not made us pass through on dry land, okay, dayenu, that would have been good too. If he had made us pass through its midst on dry land and had not drowned our oppressors in the sea as they chased us, dayenu, would have been sufficient. If he had supplied our necessities in the wilderness during 40 years and had not fed us with manna, the Jews say, it would have been sufficient. If he had fed us with manna and had not given us the Sabbath, it would have been sufficient. If God had given us the Sabbath and had not brought us to Mount Sinai, dayenu, it would have been sufficient. If he had brought us near to Mount Sinai and had not given us the law, dayenu, it would have been sufficient. If he had given us the law and had not led us into the land of Israel, dayenu, it would have been sufficient. If he had led us into the land of Israel and had not built the temple, dayenu, it would have been sufficient. Do you see how it goes? And so, therefore, the Jewish person is supposed to remember this. And then he concludes by saying, how much more are we indebted for the manifold bounties which the God has bestowed upon us? He brought us forth from Egypt, executed judgment upon the Egyptians and their gods, slew their firstborn, gave us their wealth, divided the sea for us, caused us to pass through its midst on dry land, drowned our adversaries in the sea, supplied us with everything during 40 years, fed us with manna, gave us the Sabbath, led us to Mount Sinai, gave us the law, brought us to the land of Israel, and built the holy temple for us to atone for our iniquities. That's the whole meaning, in many ways, of thanks. That's the whole meaning of Passover, which is to say thanks to God for all of these things that were given to the Jewish, to the ancestors of the Jews, or who are in essence the ancestors of the Christians as well. And in fact, if you analyze it, they were also the ancestors of the Muslims, because as you well know, Abraham is the father of the three religions, the three of the great religions on earth, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Most educated Muslims know this and respect this, and they see the integration between Judaism and Christianity and Islam, and they live in peace. Unfortunately, we're living through a time unlike any we have lived in for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, where a new breed of Islam has arisen on the earth called the Wahhabi sect of Islam. That is a radical interpretation of Islam that was created, I believe, in the 1800s by a radical Saudi cleric, a radical cleric. Of course, it couldn't be from Saudi Arabia, I don't believe, because Arabia at that time, I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia, it was Arabia. But we'll go into the details of that at another time. The Wahhabi sect of Islam is a very militant sect. It is being disseminated throughout the world, especially in the United States, by Saudi Arabia, who is spending tens and tens of millions of dollars building these radical mosques which teach not cooperation but antagonism. Everybody who has studied this knows that. They are a threat to our civilization, not Islam, but Wahhabism. And so therefore, at that note, I depart from the Savage Nation at this moment, again telling you that with Passover and Easter upon us, this is a phenomenally powerful time for Jews and Christians alike. It is a time for power to be experienced. The power of God himself can come into your being, where you can stand up to any dictatorship or any dictator, and remember that people have overcome before and you shall overcome again.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And here are some of the stories on MichaelSavage.com. Every one of them is worth spending 5 minutes with, I'm telling you. Top left, militia accused of plotting war on U.S. government. We have so many questions about this crackdown on radical Christians. Now, we have no doubt that this group probably consisted of some radical people, some extremists, who may in fact have been plotting some type of attacks, but we don't know. The whole thing looks like it's constructed to some of us, and why they sent out helicopters with paramilitary forces to capture these Christian militia members is amazing to us. Why haven't the same black helicopters from Homeland Security and the FBI sent to the whereabouts of the individuals plotting to blow up U.S. military bases such as Fort Dix? You know who I mean, the radical Muslims? We're going to talk about that today. Because something doesn't make sense here. The timing is suspicious. From London Times, Russian security services hunt a black widow cell. Russia's security services believe that the Muslim women who blew themselves up in two Moscow metro stations yesterday were part of a group of up to 30 suicide bombers. From the Daily Mail, Netanyahu denies reports a close aide slammed Obama as a disaster after the meeting. Well, I don't believe it. We know that Obama's a disaster before or after the meeting. Illegal immigrants suspected in the murder of an Arizona rancher, and he's a good Samaritan, the rancher who they killed. He often helped injured illegals trying to cross the boiling desert border into Arizona. And you know what he got for it? A death sentence. Also on MichaelSavage.com, in Texas, fear follows Mexicans who flee the drug war. That means the Mexican drug dealers are now threatening Mexicans and Mexican-Americans in America. No black helicopters there. From the London Times on Michael Savage. Vienna Boys Choir caught up in sex abuse scandals. Shocking. Shocking. A boys choir molested by a priest? Impossible. Unheard of. The case against three Navy SEALs has weakened. Cracks are beginning to appear in the military's prosecution of three Navy SEALs accused of striking a most wanted terrorism suspect in Iraq. Well, don't worry about it. They'll gin something up against the SEALs. After all, they're real threats to Homeland Security. Ronald Reagan was right. Medicare has led to socialism. See the article. Oh, yes. Hate crimes are forcing Jews out of Sweden. Didn't know that? All you good liberal socialists? But then again, you hate Jews, don't you? Even if you're Jewish, you're self-hating Jews. You see a rise in hate crimes against Jews, and a sense that local authorities have little desire to deal with the Muslims has exposed the crack in Sweden's image as a bastion of tolerance. They're not tolerant. They're cowards. Pelosi cheered an anti-American church. San Francisco has freed 1,400 drug dealers. The cases were all thrown out because the head of the drug lab was snorting some of the drugs. Where's the FBI when we need them? I think we need black helicopters over City Hall in San Francisco.
I guess it's a sanctuary city for drug dealers, too.
There you go. Also on MichaelSavage.com, don't miss these states with the highest overall tax rates. It's Hawaii, California. That's right. Welfare states. Modern parenting is rubbish. Let's change it. Read that article if you're a parent. And see my book, Healing Children Naturally. In jail, no, despite the confession that he ran over two girls, the epileptic cabbie Hassan Afzal killed two beautiful children, killed a beautiful young college sophomore and badly injured her three friends. He's walking free. Despite his confession, cabbie Hassan Afzal is walking free. Obama's trying to take over a huge part of the national economy with his so-called health care bill. Who knows what's going to happen to the stock market or the dollar? I don't. But if you get in touch with my good friends and advertisers, the best at Swiss America, they can connect you with one of the best investments of the 21st century. That's gold. Call them now at 800-289-2646. It looks like criminal illegal aliens have struck again. This time, they've murdered a rancher in Arizona.
Well-known Arizona rancher was found shot to death on his property just hours after he apparently caught some illegal immigrants sneaking into the U.S.
He's always been a humanitarian, though. He always gives water and food to the people he finds in distress, which seems to be the case last night. He called into his wife and said he was, you know, giving water to some illegals and said to call Border Patrol. And she tried to call him back, and he never answered his phone. And they found him last night shot to death, he and his dog. He's been working with Border Patrol and begging and pleading for help for years, you know, with his property being vandalized, his home being robbed.
And what is Obama doing about it? Defunding the border fence and getting ready to pass an amnesty bill and attacking Christians.
Experts say they've been monitoring the Hutari on the internet, and tonight they're telling me this is one of the most radical and dangerous groups they've seen in a long time.
The Hutari call themselves Christian warriors, and according to their website, their members believe that Christ is their top general. Videos on their website show them training like a militia, burning the United Nations flag, and paying tribute to the Patriot weapon of choice. Federal prosecutors describe the Lenawee County-based Hutari as an anti-government extremist organization which advocates violence against all levels of law enforcement. According to this indictment, 9 members of the group are charged with seditious conspiracy, attempting to use weapons of mass destruction, and using firearms for crimes of violence.
Of course, the real nuts, the ones who threaten conservatives, get no attention. Here is just a taste of the insane ramblings of Norman Laboon, an Obama contributor who threatened a Republican congressman and was arrested for it.
Assalamu alaikum. Shalom to my loving children. I'm your Messiah. I am the former god with the name of Zeus, Zion, and Ra. I'm here, and I am here with my son, Messiah. His name's Atum. He's my first Atum ever, and he is all 12 tribes of Israel. That my punishment and wrath is most severe, most painful and agonizing. And frankly, I don't give a damn of what you care, because I will destroy you, every one of you. Every company, every building, every home, everything, I created it. It belongs to my son. I did tell the governments to study the Pharaoh. They did not listen. They never do. Save your prayers. I receive them all. I receive them all. I control the heavens, the gates. No prayers. It will not save you, because I warned you. And when I give my warnings, they do not get broken. My commandments are absolute.
And here are the insane ramblings of Nancy Pelosi, who threatened America and got away with it.
I talked to him the night of the vote, and he was very happy. And then I spoke from the next morning, and he said, last night I was happier than I was the night I was elected president of the United States. And I said, well, Mr. President, I was pretty happy last night, too, passing the bill, but I wasn't happier than when you were elected president. Because if you were not elected president, if you had not been elected president of the United States, we would not be celebrating this victory for change to take our country in a new direction. Thank you, President Barack Obama. Protecting my incumbents, whether it was in 06 or 08 or now 010, is, again, my priority. I will, yes, be supporting all of them. We think good policy is good politics. We'll see how that plays out in the elections.
Right, protecting Democrats. That's our priority, not protecting the American people or the American Constitution. All on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
To set the record straight, call BS where I see it. Shed light on the half-wits who want us defeated, all because of an illness too hard to eradicate is liberalism, the mental disorder, the sad state of mind.
A while back, we had Gregory Van Leer, the infidel, on the show, and he was talking about a rap he posted on YouTube written around my phrase, liberalism is a mental disorder. He joins us now to talk about his thoughts on this and the problems he faces as a conservative in today's music industry. Gregory, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks a lot for having me on again. It's truly an honor and a pleasure.
What have you been up to since last time we talked?
Well, you know, since I was last on the Savage Nation, and thank you for the opportunity before, I really appreciate that. Great fans, smartest listeners in radio, bar none. And since then, really just been working on recording some more material, getting more copyrights up for the material that I have already completed, but also moving forward, starting a website, got that running. It's called illaflow.com, and it's something that's kind of been my baby since 2004 when I had my stroke back then, I had explained before. And it really means independent lethal lyricist against frauds, lacking originality and wisdom. I'm on the attack right now, and I want to start bringing the truth out there. So that's why we had to get the website going and more recordings and moving in the direction to really accelerate and try to get the word out to the masses.
What kind of problems are you running into in the music industry being a conservative?
Well, you know, it's harder to, you know, book shows, you know, in this day and age, what they look for is this kind of little gimmicky style, basically meaningless, you know, songs that people can just go out there and say anything as long as it has a nice beat. And just throw any nonsense out there, and it's fine. But if you actually come out there and you're ready to speak the truth, you're ready to go against the grain, against the so-called mainstream or so-called normal way of doing things, then you get a little, you catch a little flack, or you may not get the response you're looking for. I mean, I've been on MySpace for a few years now, and, you know, I don't have the, you know, all those spins and like some of the other artists do, but I'm working on it and I'm just going to keep on pushing. I mean, to me, that's motivation to keep on going, keep striving and really get the word out to more people. And eventually it's going to crack and I'm going to find my niche here.
Well, you can't be the only conservative rapper. Are there more speaking out now?
Well, you know, the thing is, I think, you know, when you say conservative rapper, I think there are people who are really trying to get it out there, but they're just hip-hop artists. And I just consider myself a hip-hop artist, but I will throw my conservative lean on certain songs, certain materials. But overall, I'm a hip-hop artist, and there are a lot of hip-hop artists who are really trying to get the message out, who are trying to do the right thing, but they are the ones who are muzzled because, well, it's not that dope slanging, you know, demeaning women all the time kind of a deal, which for some reason is just, it turns the listener on when they play it on the radio 10, 20 times a day. And you know, it's baffling to come up against something to where all you're doing is presenting information and the truth. And that's rejected for, well, the nonsense that's out there. And, you know, that's what gives rap a bad name, because the music industry really on purpose puts out the filth rather than what's good for us, you know, what we really need. And that's why, you know, I don't blame people who say, man, I don't like rap music. And then for a long time, for a while, I was kind of tired of rap music too, because it was so oversaturated with just filth. And it had no direction, no guidance. It did in the early 80s and into, you know, right before the mid-90s and so forth, it did have a message. And people were trying to reach the youth and try to, you know, give a story and really just kind of be a reporter on the street.
Are there any signs that it's getting better?
You know, I believe there is. You know, you always hold out hope for the truth. I mean, at a certain point, the truth has to be uncovered. It has to rise to the top. More and more people are, especially my age, are, you know, who grew up around the era when, you know, hip hop was, well, you know, at that time was explaining what was happening and telling stories and having fun with it. And then when it changed over, you know, we started to say, well, hey, what's happening? And people my age are actually starting to turn the radio off because we can't tolerate it anymore. And it's not even just hip hop. It's the so-called R&B music that they're putting out there and everything else. I mean, it's not helping anything. And so we become frustrated. And I think now is that time, because during a recession, you can't, I don't know how many rappers are going to have to be able to do a lot of videos where they're throwing all this money around in front of people's faces. And then, you know, people are supposed to watch this. We're in a recession right now. I don't think you're really spending that money like that. You should be saving that money and stacking up and maybe go out and buy some gold, get something that's actually worth something these days. So that's where it is. And people my age, in that genre, we're all looking for, you know, another avenue, another outlet. Where is it? Where can we actually hear something that's concrete, that's solid, that's informative? And you know what? It sounds good, too.
Where can we hear more?
Yeah, certainly. The website, www.illaflow, so that's illaflow.com. And you can go there and you can check out the blog. Actually do a blog 16 on there. So instead of just writing like a little daily blog or something like that, I actually write a rap verse for the day. And so 16 bars of, you know, kind of what I'm feeling about the pulse of America, or just kind of what I'm doing that day, or, you know, where my mind is that day, and just get to writing and want to go ahead and post that. Also, the music is there for download. So Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. We're able to re-record that and get it mastered. And that's a really great copy now. It sounds great. And that's available for download along with the song Death to America, which really talks about how America is being destroyed by the enemy within. And so those two are available for download for a dollar. And we're working on getting some more material out there. You can also find me at Facebook. Just look up The Infidel. And also MySpace.com, GVL The Infidel. A lot of people did go there right after the interview back in October. I really appreciate that to all of everybody who's been supporting me. You all are great. You know, I just honored and blessed to be in this position and just to be, you know, be a part of the Savage Nation. I mean, I've been listening for 6 years, you know, and it's been great.
Gregory Van Leer, keep up the good work, and thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on again, giving me that platform, and God bless you.
Lots of things going on, one thing after another, because Liberalism, the Mental Disorder, has now metastasized like a virus through the entire country.
Savage.
The demand that Obamacare needs to be repealed is growing. Legal attacks are already underway. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Brian Darling with his view on whether this can succeed.
Thanks, Michael. We all, I believe, have the same feeling that Obamacare must be repealed. What happened isn't an end. It's merely a beginning of the effort to repeal Obamacare, replace members of Congress that supported that horrible idea, and suing the federal government to make sure that they can't force Americans unconstitutionally to buy health insurance that is governed, that is full of mandates coming from the federal government. The bottom line is conservatives and Americans are demanding the repeal of Obamacare. This is simply an intolerable act by the government that's inconsistent with the idea of freedom and liberty. And Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina, Senator David Vitter of Louisiana, Steve King of Iowa, House Member Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota, all of them are supporting the idea of an immediate repeal of Obamacare, and that shows this is the beginning, not the end. Jim DeMint said, and he stated after the bill was passed, that this bill is unconstitutional and it cannot be fixed. It must be repealed. What he's trying to say is you can't preserve parts of this. At its core, it's terrible, and it's something that needs to be repealed in full. So the American people are going to watch this battle, get involved in this three-pronged fight for repeal, replace, and sue to make sure that Obamacare is chipped away at and finally repealed. Now, last weekend's actions by Congress and the president reminds us of the British colonists who tossed tea in the Boston Harbor in an act of defiance against their faraway monarch.
True.
Americans need to repeal this idea of Obamacare. They need to sue the federal government to get back individual freedom and use the federal elections of 2010 to replace members of Congress who don't listen to constituents. Now, my boss, Ed Follner, president of the Heritage Foundation, after the vote said that the American people's love for liberty prevailed in our founding, and it will prevail once again. And he hearkened back to what happened during the Boston Tea Party in December of 1773, to protest unjust taxation, a group of American colonists dumped tea in the Boston Harbor. The punishment for that first Tea Party was a series of intrusive laws passed by Parliament that were so oppressive that they could only be described as the intolerable acts. And we right now have an intolerable act, and that is Obamacare. And the American people need to band together and make sure that that intolerable law is taken off the books. Now, you look at the legal attacks, attorneys general in Florida, South Carolina, and Virginia. They're banding together to sue on behalf of the citizens of their states to protect those citizens' rights against a faraway federal government trying to mandate that they buy health insurance. And this is something that the federal government doesn't have the power to do under the Constitution. There's no power under the Commerce Clause. There's no power under the Taxing Clause for the federal government to force citizens to buy a private product. Now, you also have to look at this fall. What's going to happen? This fall is going to be a referendum on Obamacare. It's also going to be a referendum on the economy. But health care is going to be central to this fall election. And this effort is going to lead to a repeal of members of Congress and a replacement of members of Congress who supported an idea that the American people didn't want. Every single poll indicated the American people disliked Obamacare, and for whatever reason, these elites in Washington ignored the will of the American people, moved forward, and passed a piece of legislation that the American people didn't want and didn't support.
Not only are they growing our federal government, but they're trying to make these changes permanent.
Yes, there are extraordinary provisions in this bill that have been put in to try and make it so that it's impossible to repeal the bill. You have Section 3405 of Subsection C of Obamacare has this provision that they snuck in, and it says that it shall not be in order for the Senate or the House of Representatives to consider any bill, resolution, amendment, or conference report that would repeal or otherwise change a subsection. That's an unconstitutional attempt on the part of this government to make it so that future Congresses can't repeal very controversial items in Obamacare. And we're talking about what some people have called the death panels. It's the Independent Medicare Advisory Board, which is going to be making very important decisions on what coverage every American has. And what they've done is they've tried to make it so Congress can only overturn these decisions with a 3/5 vote of members of the House and the Senate. It's funny, when you look in the Constitution, that power isn't there. There's no power for this Congress to bind future Congresses and to tell them that they can't repeal this bill. So yet again, this is yet another potentially unconstitutional provision in Obamacare. And this is an Obamacare where the Congress used a potentially unconstitutional means to get it passed, and it's full of unconstitutional mandates.
You're saying that this bill is just not constitutional?
The core of Obamacare is about growing government and making government bigger. And this is why many liberals who want a single-payer system and they don't embrace all aspects of what President Obama has put forth, they voted for this bill. And why did they? Because it gets them one step closer to this government control of every aspect of Americans' life. And if the government can get control of health care, that's the first step in the federal government taking control of other aspects of Americans' life. Liberals, leftists, believe that the federal government knows better than your average American, and the federal government can deliver services to Americans better than private enterprise. It's a top-down government-run system that's offensive to your average American who treasures their liberty and freedom, and they want to have freedom to have access to health care. They want to be able to go to their doctor and not have some panel telling them what they can and cannot get, and they don't want to be taxed to the hilt on every aspect of their health care delivery system to pay for this new program. It's going to be a huge boondoggle. It's going to cost well over $1 trillion over the next 10 years, potentially as much as $2.5 trillion. And only in Washington could you have a president and Congress say that they're going to save money when they're massively expanding government, they're raising taxes by over $500 billion, and cutting some entitlement programs to pay for this brand new government boondoggle, government-run health care.
What kind of timeline are we looking at?
Well, here's a timeline. Already, attorneys general are preparing lawsuits that may go all the way to the Supreme Court. It's going to take years for this to take place and to be litigated all the way to the Supreme Court, but you already have many states saying, no, we're not going to participate. They're opting out, and they're suing the federal government saying, you can't implement this law. So we're already seeing movement, pushback on Obamacare from attorneys generals in many states. The next thing you're going to see is this fall in the elections. You're going to see members of Congress kicked out because they didn't listen to their own constituents. They thought it'd be a better idea for them to listen to the president, make nice with all their friends in Congress like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and they cared. They seem to care more about what inside the Beltway elites thought about them than their own constituents. Every single poll indicates that the American people don't like Obamacare, and these members of Congress were ignoring the will of their constituents, and they're going to get kicked out of office. They're going to have to redo their resumes and find new jobs. So that's phase two. Phase three is a long-term strategy. It's going to take years, and it is a legislative strategy. If Republicans sweep into the House and the Senate in the fall elections, if they get enough seats that they can actually take control of the House and the Senate, you're going to see an effort on the part of members of Congress to defund aspects of Obamacare. They're going to stop funding some elements of it. So that's going to slow down implementation of Obamacare. Also, most of the big provisions in the bill don't kick in to 2014. So there still is time for the American people to get active, motivated, involved, and move forward with a long-term strategy to make sure that members that don't support ideas they like are replaced. And you get good members in Congress and maybe a new president that will sign into law a repeal of Obamacare.
Brian Darling, thanks again for being on The Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael, so much for having me on. This is a new intolerable act, Obamacare, and the American people are going to push back hard through legal, legislative, and electoral means to get it off the books.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
You want a little heartbreak tonight? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. How about this for moronic?
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
Actor Matthew Modine, who hasn't done a good movie since 1918, says, why can't we just sit down with Bin Laden and say, hey man, why are you mad at me? So-called actor Matthew Modine suggests the way to get Al-Qaeda to abandon its quest to make Islam dominant over the world is to sit down and say, hey man, why are you mad at me?
Imagine if somebody were to really sit down with Osama bin Laden and say, listen man, what is it that you're so angry at me about that you're willing to have people strap bombs to themselves or get inside of airplanes and fly them into buildings? That would be the miracle, if we could get sit down and talk to our enemies and have a find a way for them to hear us.
Hello? By the way, you want to read a heartbreaking letter? Read Vicky Behenna's latest letter to Michael Savage and to the audience that's been sending money to her son, the hero, locked up and rotting in Fort Leavenworth. All on michaelsavage.com, not to be missed. Oh, I was thinking of something. Recently, I liked when the guys laugh at my jokes, my Phil and Beowulf. Poor Doug Cann, he's busy fielding calls. He's the what do you call a catcher in a baseball game? He's in the, what is he, the, where the mask? Is there a certain area, like behind home plate? Anyway, Doug's there. Who? Home plate? Doug's at home plate catching the call, so he can't hear me. He's listening to the callers. And so Phil and Beowulf laugh at some of my jokes. And, you know, we work very close. So I said, you know, you laugh at some of the jokes, but it doesn't go out on the air. Why don't you start running your laughter out on the air so that people can hear that someone's laughing at it? So we've run it over the last few weeks for the first time in 16 years. And some people are saying, Savage, you need someone to laugh at your jokes? Why don't you just get laugh tracks from television? So what we've done is gotten some laugh tracks from television shows. And I want to play some of them and ask you if I should run them when I say something funny. Play the first one. Wait, so you think that was funny, huh? I'll tell you the truth. How do you think I got out of the hold from Al in the gym? Because I had ants from Russia who would grab me. I know how to squirm out of it because their perfume stank. How do you think I did it, huh? No, let's try that again, babe. I'm going to tell another one. Let's see how it sounds with the laughter and without it. So as I was saying, look, there's only one way. How do you explain the fact that a skinny kid in the gym at age 16 can escape the tight grip of Al the weightlifter, other than the fact that I learned as a young kid in the Bronx from all of the ants from Russia who'd come in and their perfume was so overwhelming that I squirmed out of their grip? That's how I learned to escape. Years later, it was better than judo. You know what I mean? You
you know, there may be something here. It's like a crutch, Beowulf. It's funny, isn't it? Oh, come on, stop. Now you're overusing it. Now you're going to kill me with the laugh. Should we run laugh tracks behind me just to give me a break?
Boo!
No. Oh, now we're using sound effects, the last refuge of the bad talk show host. Hey, did you hear what Sean Penn said? He wishes rectal cancer on cynics. Oh, stop it. Sean Penn said that anyone who disagrees with his politics should have rectal cancer. You hear? And that got a laugh at CBS. I don't believe it. So a bunch of kids from the University of California who finally have to pay tuition, they don't like the fact that they have to pay tuition. So a bunch of the schmucks put down the pot pipe and run out on the highways and block traffic. And what does the local newspaper publish? Instead of the brats should have been arrested, the schmucks with the failing newspaper here in San Francisco write, a day of action, a day of feisty protest for schools. No wonder nobody buys your crap. That was a laugh track. You should have hit it. Here's another joke. Pentagon shooter had a history of mental illness. Laugh track. No, come on. You know the Pentagon shooter? Guy goes nuts. Turns out he's a left-wing nut. That's why you're not reading about it. He believed that George Bush caused the 9/11. What else did he believe? The guy was a left-wing nut. That's why they're not talking about a Pentagon shooter. If they... Huh? What else? Oh, he grew his own pot, and he believed probably believed in UFOs as well. So the guy's a left-wing whack job, and that's why you didn't read about it. That doesn't stop the vermin at the New York Times from trying to pin a tail on a donkey, so to speak. I say pin the tail on the real donkey, which is the Democrat Party. So in this case, the guy's a left-wing lunatic, goes on a rampage, shoots at the Pentagon, and you don't read about it because, A, grew his own pot, anti-government tracks. What does he mean, anti-government? He says the government caused 9/11. So in other words, he's a left-wing nutcase. In other words, he and Sean Penn would have been happy in Haiti together with the same proctologist, laugh track. Come on, that's karma. Do you remember that movie with Robert De Niro, one of my favorite movies, when he played with Jerry Lewis? He played Mr. Pumpkin or Pumpkin. King of Comedy, an amazing movie. They blocked it from DVD release for 10 years. It came out. I couldn't stop watching that movie. How he, Pumpkin, wants his own talk show so badly he wants to get on television. It was all about laugh tracks, by the way. Play the laugh track for a minute. Do you remember when Pumpkin went on the air? He had the laugh tracks that they had to run at his bad jokes. This is starting to sound like a parody of the bad parody. I'm telling you the truth. Let's see what else is in the news. Starbucks asks not to be center of gun debate. No laugh track. Okay. Sean Penn slams those who question his Haiti aid call, saying that they should get rectal cancer. Pentagon shooter had a history of mental illness known as liberalism. There is no truth to the rumor that the Pentagon shooter and Sean Penn share the same proctologist. There's a few other things that we should be talking about on the Savage Nation. Obama has turned America upside down, and he's only just started. What is he focused on these days? Well, now that he succeeded in forcing socialized medicine down the throats of the American people, what is Obama's next target? You see, radical Muslims are waging jihad around the world. Radical Muslims are strapping bombs to their backs in Russia. Radical Muslims are strapping bombs to their underwear in the United States. Radical Muslims have slaughtered at U.S. Army bases, at recruitment centers, at financial centers, all in the U.S. But what is Obama most concerned about? Radical Christians. That's right. Obama has gone after a radical Christian group that he claims attempted to use weapons of mass destruction against the police. Of course, by weapons of mass destruction, Obama means explosives, the kind of weapons that gangs of illegal aliens use every day in America. But when white Christians are accused of using them, then serious action must be taken. You see, some animals are more equal than others. And what is Obama doing about the illegal alien drug dealers and the others? Well, he just had Big Sis Napolitano eliminate funding for the border fence. And now he's getting ready to force an amnesty bill through the Congress. Just yesterday, illegal aliens killed a rancher in Arizona. This is a rancher who pled with the federal government for years to protect him against the illegal onslaught. His wife wrote a letter to their member of Congress saying their ranch had suffered $6.2 million in damage because of illegal foot traffic. She said, "We are in fear for our lives and safety." The letter was read, but no help was sent. Yesterday, he was found dead with a 9mm bullet in his body. That's Homeland Security. So radical Muslims threaten us, and Obama attacks radical Christians. Illegal aliens kill our citizens, and Obama defunds the fence and makes it easier for them to get in. You see, Obama has turned America upside down, and now Americans are beginning to pay for it with their liberty and their lives. Good radio is good radio. The variety of the personality depends upon the personality. You could do politics till you're blue in the face and people would not listen to you. You could do it till you're blue in the face and they will listen to you, depending upon who you are and your delivery. But if I would only do politics, I would have left this business a long time ago. As I say to you, I am a communicator, and I've been brought up to admit what's going on inside me to people, you know, when I want to now, and certainly not everything. I mean, if I told you everything that was going on inside me or everything I did, I'd be crazy. That would be the mark of insanity. It's a public show. But I admit doubt. I admit pain. I admit grief. I admit failure. I don't think failure is dirty like a disease. I've had failure in my life. Savage.